In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit, one God, Amen. Today I want to focus on the first sentence that our Lord Jesus Christ said. And He gave a commandment in that first sentence. And it might be the hardest commandment that we have to follow. He said, "But I say to you who hear, love your enemies, do good to those who hate you, bless those who curse you, and pray for those who spitefully use you." Regular human beings are not going to be able to fulfill this commandment. That's why we for us to fulfill this commandment, we have to be Christians, because we can't do it on our own. We have to do it through God, with God. Someone can say, fine, I'll forgive him. But that's not what the commandment says. It doesn't say just to forgive him. And forgiving on its own is really hard. But he says, love your enemies, do good to them. So some people who are wrong say, I will follow our Lord's command. And I'm not going to be mad at the person, but I don't have to talk to them. I don't have to deal with them. That's not the command that God is telling us. The commandment is to love that person who wronged us and pray for them that they may return. So for people not to think that it's okay just to say, fine, I'll forgive them, but I don't have to deal with them, God elaborates a bit more. He says, do not hate, but He says love. He didn't say do not wrong, but He said do good. He says, bless those who curse you. If someone curses me out, I can answer back with cursing. I could curse him back. I can stay quiet and endure it. I can stay quiet, but inside of me, I'm raging and I just want to retaliate. Here the command asks much more of us, which is to bless them who curse you. Meaning, answer the insult with something nice. Answer the insult with a compliment. And St. Paul lived this commandment. He says in 1 Corinthians chapter 4, being reviled, we bless. Being persecuted, we endure. And as we can see, this is a completely different level of spirituality that can only be reached with the help of God. If we don't have God in our lives, then we can't reach that. Also notice that He didn't only command us to love, but to pray. Prayer here is not only for God to strengthen me to be able to endure my enemy and to love him, but it's for God to help us love our enemies. We pray also for him so that God can calm him down, calm our enemy down, make him notice what he's doing, and take away the evil in him so he can see that we love him. With prayer, God will clean our hearts and will transform our sadness into joy. He will also give me a calm spirit so I can follow this commandment of loving my enemy. Prayer will also make me feel bad for the person that wronged me and will not let me see him as an enemy, but as someone whom the devil tricked into doing what he did to me. Prayer will also show me the best way how to deal with this person and how to answer him. So some people might say, if I follow the commandment to love him and my enemy, this might show to the person that I'm weak, that I'm not able to retaliate. And if you notice, God didn't even approach this point, because He wants us to try this commandment and see if it's going to come out as weakness at the end or not. Even if on the spot it looks like weakness, over time the person's going to understand that it's not out of weakness that we did this, but actually we are very strong. This indeed needs a lot of struggle. Struggle within myself, not with my enemy. Struggle in my prayer. This also might be why some people say sometimes, when I stand to pray at night, I don't feel that God is there. I feel like I'm talking to a wall. There's nothing in front of me. Maybe this is why. Did you ask yourself, do I have a grudge against anyone? Does anyone have a grudge against me? So if I do have a grudge against someone, or someone has a grudge against me, this is probably the reason why you don't feel anything in your prayers. Look at what the commandment implies. The commandment implies basically not to treat my enemy unjustly. Give yourself justification for his acts. Do not do to him what he did to you, but stay quiet. Let yourself suffer even if he has wronged you. Do not hate him, love him, and pray for him. And our Lord Jesus Christ says in the Gospel of St. Matthew chapter 5, be perfect just as your Father in heaven is perfect. So He wants us to be like Him. He wants us to be like our Father. So He says a bit further down in the Gospel of today, for He is kind to the unthankful and evil. God is kind to the unthankful and evil. So God is not merciful only to those who are good, but He's merciful to those who are evil as well. So if God is able to be thankful, if God is kind to the unthankful and evil, who are we not to be thankful or kind to our enemies? Now observe the second sentence of today. Our Lord Jesus Christ says, to him who strikes you on the one cheek, offer the other also. And we always have to take God's words in a spiritual sense, not in a literal sense. If someone strikes me on my cheek, and if I give him my other cheek right away, but inside of me I'm raging with flame because I want to hit him back, what's the point of that? We're not fulfilling the commandment. I'm full of hatred. The verse says, love your enemies. So our Lord wants us to restrain ourselves even more. Basically, if someone wrongs us and pushes us to an extreme, He says, do not retaliate. Have patience and give him a chance to come back to his senses. This is what the commandment implies. Another example why this command shouldn't be taken in literal sense, because sometimes this might not be beneficial to the person, is when our Lord Jesus Christ was put in the situation. When the guard hit him, did our Lord Jesus Christ stay quiet? No, he didn't stay quiet. He said to him, if I have spoken evil, bear witness of the evil, but if well, why do you strike me? So our Lord Jesus Christ wasn't struck and then gave him the other cheek right away. He answered back. Does that mean that Christ is not following his own commandment? Of course not. Does that mean that Christ doesn't love this guard that struck him? Of course not. He not only loved him, but actually he came to die for this person because he was part of humanity. Our Lord Jesus Christ did not only give the command, but he followed the command. Beaten with whips, rods, crown of thorn, he was spit on, mocked, and then he was crucified, which is the most shameful death that anyone could go through. And he says what? Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they do. Even after his ascension into the heaven, he sends his apostles to preach to his crucifiers, the Jews, for them to return to him. This is the love that our Lord Jesus Christ is speaking about. This is the love that he wants us to have towards our enemy. And someone can say this is really hard. God was able to do it because he is God. But us, we're weak humans. And that person is absolutely right. We are weak humans. But don't forget, we're not alone. We have God inside of us. We have the Holy Spirit inside of us. An example of human who were able to reach that level of loving their enemies is Saint Stephen, the first martyr. While they were stoning him, he was praying for them. Okay, we read in Acts chapter 7, then he knelt down and cried out with a loud voice, Lord, do not charge them with this sin. And when he had said this, he fell asleep. Imagine just being stoned. Okay, he's on his knees, or the way they used to stone them, they used to put them in a hole, and they used to put like cover them up to here, and their hands are stuck, and just stoning them, the martyrs. So they were stoning him. So just imagine the scene. And he's praying for them. He loves them. He feels bad for them. And it's probably because of these prayers of these saints that the persecutors return to God after that, return to the faith. And this is the true love that God wants us to reach and to apply toward our enemies. Saint John Chrysostom gives a good example. He says that me and my enemy is like a mentally ill person and a physician. If the mentally ill person starts kicking and insulting the doctor and beating him up, is the doctor going to retaliate by beating him up as well? Of course not. The doctor is going to feel bad for the person, he's going to have pity on him, and he's going to try to treat him with the best of cure. So if our enemy wrongs us in any way, we have to know that this is not his work, but the work of the devil inside of him. So treat our enemies as sick people. And try to treat them for this disease that they have, which was imposed on them by the devil. This is not their own action. If someone is angry at me, how can I deliver him from his anger if I retaliate with anger? There's no way. If someone insults me and I insult him back, there's no way I'm going to bring him back. But if someone insults me and I retaliate with a calm comment, then maybe this person is going to come back to his senses and he's going to come back to God. And this is exactly what God wants. He wants us to bring back to Him a lost brother. And our reward, He says, will be great. because we have freed our brother from a grievous disease. Also, this brother will never forget what we did for them, and they're going to respect us, and they're going to love us. All of the disciples and apostles followed our Lord Jesus Christ's command. Imagine if they didn't preach to the people that stoned them or insulted them or beat them. If they wished vengeance on these people, then Christianity wouldn't have reached what it reached today. So it was also necessary for our Lord Jesus Christ to say these commandments for everything the apostles were going to face as well. Maybe you heard this story before about Ma'alim Ibrahim al-Guhari. He was one of the highest ranking civil servants at the end of the 18th century. His brother came to him complaining that every time he passed in front of a person's house, this person started insulting him. So Ma'alim Ibrahim's brother was annoyed. So he went to his brother and he told him, "You have authority, do something about it. Every time I pass in front of this house, the guy insults me." So he said, "Don't worry, I will cut his evil tongue." So Ma'alim Ibrahim told his servant to take butter, cheese, and wheat, and many things, and bring it and offer it to this man. So the next day, Ma'alim Ibrahim's brother is passing in front of that house again, and the man now starts shouting joyful things, and he's happy, and he's complimenting him. The brother, surprised, go back to his brother, Ma'alim Ibrahim, and he told him, "What do you do? This is very weird that he started praising me, basically." So Ma'alim Ibrahim told his brother that by doing kindness to this person, evil words will never again be uttered from his tongue. And St. Paul in Romans chapter 12 says, "Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good." And God, probably knowing that this command is hard, he used another approach. He said, "And just as you want men to do to you, you also do to them likewise." So, okay, basically whatever I want people to do to me, I have to treat them the same way. And this makes it a bit easier since no one would want to ever be treated in a bad way. So if we want people to give us freely, we have to give freely. If we want people to respect us, we have to respect people. If we want people to love us unconditionally, we have to love them unconditionally. Notice that he doesn't say, "Do to men as they do to you." There's a big difference here. He says, "Do to others as you want them to do to you." Another way to look at it is to always put ourselves in the other person's shoes. For example, if I sin a great sin against someone, and I go and ask forgiveness from that person, I want to be forgiven from that person, and I want him to forget my actions as well. So why is it so hard for us when someone wrongs us, that when they come and ask forgiveness from us, we say, "No, we don't forgive you"? We have to be careful here also. We might do something good to our enemies, basically if they come back and ask for forgiveness, or we do something good to our enemies, basically they insult us and we do something good to them, we might be expecting something good in return. And Christ told us not to do that. He says, "But love your enemies, do good and lend, hoping for nothing in return, and your reward will be great, and you will be sons of the Most High." And don't we much rather be rewarded from God than by men? The reward that our Lord Jesus Christ speaks of here is not earthly. It's not something from this earth. Okay, so it's not earth as he spoke to the meek. It's not comfort or mercy as with respect to the mourners and mercifuls, or even the kingdom of heaven. But he says, "Your reward will be great, and you will be sons of the Most High." So our reward is going to be great. It's going to be something great. So am I going to get heaven? Not only will you get heaven, but you're going to get a great reward, something great. So in this verse, our Lord Jesus Christ is trying to keep our focus to heaven, hoping for nothing in return. Basically, forget about the earthly reward. Forget of anything in this world from men, but focus on the reward which we will receive in heaven. He says, "And you will be sons of the Most High." Sons of the Most High. Someone can ask here and be like, didn't we become children of God in baptism? Yes, you did become children of God in baptism, but it doesn't show. To show is the decision is ours. For someone to be sons or daughter of his or her father, we have to be like our father. We have to obey his commandments and follow them. And this is only when we're going to be called sons of the Most High. To conclude, I'm going to end with a quote that Pope Shenouda said. He said, Some people might say it's hard to love my enemy. So what should I do? I would tell them, at least do not hate him. Forgive him in your heart and forget the harm he did to you. Progress gradually in the virtue till you reach praying for him so that God may reform him, lead him to repentance and forgive him. And so you reach the stage of loving, and glory be to God forever and ever. Amen.